Well, this is the last message in this little mini-series within the bigger series of the Gospel of John, a three-week series on the Holy Spirit called Send Help. And this concludes this brief look into some of the highlight verses of the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And it's important that we understand that the Holy Spirit is God. He is one of the persons of the Trinity, and He is the one who came to us when we believed in Jesus to continue the work that Jesus began. And when He left His disciples in the passages we've been looking at, He said, I'm going to send help. I'm going to send help to you, and this help will manifest itself in a number of ways. We've highlighted two so far, which we'll review in a minute, and one more this morning. The first thing we said about the Holy Spirit was that when He came, He would confirm the abiding presence of God, the permanent presence of God within our life. I was reflecting on some key verses that teach this, that when you give your heart to Jesus, the Spirit of God comes to live within you permanently, resident. So there's no thing, no place that you can go where He is not there. I was reminded of Psalm 16, verse 7 or 8, where David said, I have set the Lord continually before me. That was his way of thinking about the Lord is always before me. Because he's here, I will not be shaken. Because He's always present with me. We know that David didn't experience the same relationship to the Holy Spirit as we do after Jesus left earth and sent the Spirit. But the same is true, because the Spirit of God is with us. Where can we go from His presence? What's the answer? Nowhere. You can't go anywhere outside of the presence of God. He abides within us. He lives within us. The permanent presence of God in the life of a believer. It's a great truth. It's a truth that is both encouraging, because God is companion with us. And it's a bit convicting that it sort of guides our life, that I can't do anything, but God is there with me. And that directs my steps. The second thing we said last week is that the work of the Spirit, permanently present within us, teaches us all things. It guides us into truth. It leads us to know more of what God has said, what He wants for us. And it is the Spirit who whispers in our ear, or shouts to our soul, or directs our steps, or sometimes orchestrates these circumstances. So we say, well, I have to do this. And the beautiful work of the Spirit is that He is present to guide us into the paths that the Lord wants us to take, and to know the truth of God, and to teach us, this is what God wants. This is what God says. These are the commands of Jesus. And that's a ministry that the Spirit has in our life. And so we have to be in tune to that, be aware of it. Again, a key verse that underscores that from the Old Testament is a beautiful one. He leads me in the paths of righteousness. What's the last phrase? Yeah, it's for His name's sake. Because the work of the Spirit is to glorify Christ. What the Lord does in our life, He does for the Lord's glory. He leads me, He guides me, He teaches me, He directs me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. That's the beautiful work of the Spirit in our life, to guide us, to lead us, direct us into truth. This morning, if you have your Bible, I want you to open, if you would, to John chapter 15 and verse 26, and let's just see, we won't say everything there is to say about the Holy Spirit from these three chapters, but this is the next message, that He works in our life to influence the world. And that's today's message, that He works in us to execute and to carry out His power to influence the world. He does it Himself, and He also does it through us. So John chapter 15 and verse 26, we read this: when the Helper comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, that is the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, He will testify of me. And you will bear witness also, because you've been with me from the beginning. Now that's a key to understanding that the Holy Spirit in the world today is ministering in a way that's not always known to us, not always evident. And I'm going to show you three things that the Spirit of God does in the world today that is not always received, but we can be sure that He's working in this way because He's doing this. He is bearing witness to Jesus in the world. And He is ministering in the affairs of the spiritual realm, bearing witness to Jesus in three ways we're going to see. And then we're going to look at this work that He's left for us to do, that we would bear witness also. Now, he's speaking to the 11 disciples who are left, but it's for us too, that we would bear witness of Jesus. Now let's see what the Spirit does. What does the Spirit do in the world as He works His way to bear witness of Jesus? And to look at this, you need to turn to chapter 16 and verse 6. And we'll just see the sort of the parallel passage that talks about how the Holy Spirit works in the world. And we'll reinforce a couple things in our mind. John chapter 16 and verse, well, why don't we begin with 5. But now I'm going to Him who sent me, and none of you asks me, where are you going? Because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled your heart. But I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go. Remember that? That was 2 weeks ago. We talked about it's better. It's better that Jesus is not with us. And it's hard for us to appreciate that, but let's underscore it again. The reason Jesus said that it's better that I'm not with you is because He knew what was ahead of Him the next night. And that work that was ahead of Him the next night was absolutely necessary for our well-being. He had to go to the cross. He had to die for the sins of the world. He had to be buried and raised from the dead and then ascend into heaven. And then He sent the Spirit. So when He said to His followers, it's better that I'm not here, what He had in His mind, I must go to the cross. Because if I don't do that, it's no good for you. I've got to go to the cross. I came to give my life a ransom for many. So, it's going to be better that I'm not here, and better that I send the Holy Spirit to you. For if I don't go away, the Helper cannot come. But if I go, I'll send Him. Verse 8. And He, when He comes, here are the three things that He does. He will convict the world concerning sin, righteousness, and judgment. Concerning sin, because they do not believe in Me. And concerning righteousness, because I go to the Father, and you no longer see Me. And concerning judgment, because the ruler of this world has been judged. Now there are three things that Jesus says the work of the Spirit is going to do. He's going to convict, or I like the word convince. It's not the word in convict as if to convict and bring a sentence against the world, because that's what Jesus did. Jesus convicted, in a sense, and brought a final judgment through His substitutionary death on the cross. But the work of the Spirit is to bring to bear the witness of the work of Jesus, and in a sense to convince the world about three things. About sin, because, verse 9 says, because they do not believe in Me. And this is the first thing I'd like to mention this morning, is that the work of the Spirit is to convince, to bring to bear in the minds of the world that Jesus is the answer to sin, and to bring conviction to them because they do not believe in who He is. Now here's the idea. That the Spirit of God is at work in the minds of the world, all of the world, to convince them about sin. That is, that sin is a reality, that we have sin, to begin with. Now, we could say this, that there really is, it's not the thought that the world doesn't know anything about sin. All you have to do, in a sense, is to look at the newspaper, and you can see a whole list of the issues that are the sins of the world that we see around us. It's not hard to find a list of sins that we might see even in the newspaper. So it's not the reality of sin, but it's tied in this phrase that explains verse 9, that Jesus comes, or the Holy Spirit comes to convince the world of sin because they do not believe in Jesus. Here's the idea. The conviction about sin is the lack of belief in Jesus. The way to think of it is in this way. The primary sin of the world is disbelief. The sin that's most damning is to not believe in Jesus. And not to believe the work that he came to accomplish on the cross. For to believe in Jesus is to be saved from your sins. It's to be forgiven. It's to be cleansed. And thus, to not believe in Jesus is to remain in your sins. And the work of the Spirit is to move about in the world and to bring conviction that until you understand that sin is the issue between you and God and that Christ gave his life, you remain in your sins. But when you embrace Christ by the convincing work of the Holy Spirit and you say, wow, my sins are an offense to God. I've got to do something with it. I can't pay for my own sins. I need Christ. I believe him. I embrace him. That's the work of the Spirit. The work of the Spirit is to convince in our hearts that sin is an issue that keeps us from God and to convince the world that believing in Jesus will lead to forgiveness. Now, that's what the Spirit's going to do. In many of our hearts, we give God the straight arm. We don't want to say to him, I have sin. We don't want to say to him, I need to be forgiven. And we can resist what the Spirit is doing, but the work of the Spirit is to bring conviction in our heart that I need to believe in Jesus. Let me show you. Just turn back in your Bible. I'll show you the exact same message that Jesus gave in chapter 8. This is exactly what he said when he was talking to the Pharisees, religious leaders, and an audience in chapter 8 and verse 24. This is direct. It's blunt. This is what Jesus said along the same lines of convincing about sin. Therefore, I say to you that you will die in your sins. For unless you believe in me, that I am he, you will die in your sins. What's Jesus saying? Sin is the issue. You'll die in your sins unless you believe that I am he, that I am the one who paid for sins. So the work of the Spirit is to bring conviction to the hearts of men and women that you must believe in Jesus. That's how the Spirit's working. Now, we can't see it. We don't know when it happens, but sometimes all of a sudden someone just says, you just said, wow, my sins are an offense to God. I need to be forgiven. If I continue on this track, I will die in my sins. I don't want that. I call out to Jesus to save me. That's the work of the Spirit. In this quiet, subtle, spiritual way, convincing our hearts, that's the work of the Spirit. Again, from chapter 16 and verse 9, that the work of the Spirit, when he comes, he will convince the world, convict the world concerning sin because they do not believe in me. Secondly, concerning righteousness, because I go to my Father. And you no longer see me. Second work of the Spirit is to convince the world about righteousness. Now that's a funny word. It's a difficult word in our sense because righteousness is currently being defined by all people in many ways. And righteousness is often culturally defined. It is that way in our culture. You can read the newspaper and scan through the editorial, which there was one this week that really irked me and got me thinking that, morality and righteousness, what is right, can be defined by the culture. we all have a tendency to be very self-righteous. To think of ourselves as always being right and measuring up. And this was the kind of righteousness that Jesus went after when he ministered, the self-righteous behavior of the shallow Pharisees. But the righteousness that Jesus is talking about is the righteousness that comes from Him. A righteousness that's derived by faith, that comes from knowing God rightly. And so He says the work of the Spirit is to come and to convince the world what real righteousness is, and to convince the world of that, of righteousness, because I go to the Father and you no longer see me. That real righteousness is based again upon the work of Jesus on the cross, and that is the righteousness that the Spirit of God wants to convince men and women that they need. We have to understand that our deeds are not acceptable. Our good deeds can't outweigh the bad. It's a righteousness that comes from embracing the work of Jesus because I go to the cross. I go to the Father. I go through this work that's ahead of me in the context tomorrow night. It's the inner witness of the Holy Spirit to convince us that we need the righteousness which comes by faith, not by works. And that's the work of the Holy Spirit, to convince that in our lives. And third, the work of the Spirit is to come and to convince our hearts, not only about sin and about righteousness, but about judgment. About the reality that judgment is coming and is a reality. And so Jesus says this way, and concerning judgment, because the ruler of this world has been judged. The work of the Spirit is to confirm in the hearts of men and women that what Jesus did on the cross was, in a sense, a final judgment upon the God of this world, the spiritual powers of darkness. And when the Spirit of God, in some mysterious way, comes and impresses upon your heart that Jesus is the victor and Satan is vanquished, that's a work of the Spirit of convincing that what Jesus did on the cross really did accomplish a final judgment. The idea could be thought of this way, that Jesus was apparently defeated, but in reality was quite victorious. And at the cross, it appears in a sense that Satan slaying Jesus is victorious, but in reality in that work is ultimately defeated. And the work of the Spirit is to bring conviction in the heart that the judgment of God, the wrath of God, has been poured out in Christ, and that judgment is final. And the work of the Spirit is to bring to bear in the heart of a person what Jesus did on the cross was the judgment of God against sin, and I need to believe. Now, in our verse that we've been reading for today, the one that's in your outline, it says this, that the Spirit will bear witness of me. This is the way the Spirit bears witness, to bring a strong and heavy conviction in our soul that Jesus is who He says He is, to bring to bear in our minds that He is convincing the world about the reality of sin, the need for forgiveness, about the reality of judgment, and the final judgment in Christ on the cross, and to bring to bear a conviction in our mind about what the reality of real righteousness is. And the Spirit does that in many ways. He does it through the radio, through messages, through a message like this, through your personal study in the Word of God. In some ways, the gospel proclaimed is when the Spirit of God brings this work to bear in people's mind that Jesus is who He says He is. And the Bible just tells us that the Spirit is out in the world working to bring this kind of conviction. Now, if you're like me, and you know, maybe you'd be proud to say, I'm not, but we have this thought in our mind occasionally to say, well, if the Spirit of God is doing this, why don't we see more people turning their lives to Christ? You ever say that? If the Spirit is working in the world to bring conviction about the reality of sin and the reality of what righteousness is and the reality of of judgment. Why don't we see more turning to faith? I'd say that the human heart is able to resist. And our response must be that we open ourselves to Him and say, I want you. But man can resist God and put his hand up and say, this far, no more. And I don't believe. I reject. God works. He whispers. And every once in a while, He breaks through and a heart opens up. And God penetrates every heart. Every heart will stand sort of aware that the Spirit of God is bringing conviction to us about these things. Jesus is who He says He is. Now this verse that we're reading at the top of your outline has this phrase in it also. That you will bear witness also. When we talk about the Spirit being in the world, bringing conviction to the world to lead us to understand who Christ is, while the Spirit is at work bearing witness of Jesus, we do too. Our job is not to bring conviction. Our job is not to bring a conviction to people's heart. That's God's work. But ours is to bear witness. And the work of the Spirit in us is to lead us through every part of our day that we would be able to bear witness of who Christ is and that what He said is real. So here are a couple of verses that should come to your mind about all of this. Matthew chapter 28, verses 19 and 20. A verse that's sort of our touchstone verse for ministering in the world and bearing witness for Christ. The last words of Jesus before He left the earth, go and make disciples of all nations, of Kenya, of Brazil, of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to observe all that I've commanded you, for lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. How is God with us in every situation to the end of the world? The abiding presence of His Spirit in us allows us to understand that He is with us as we do the work that He asked us to do, to go into all the world and make disciples. We looked at this verse a couple weeks ago, Acts chapter 1, and you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be witnesses. You will bear witness unto me in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the ends of the world. What's the work that the Spirit of God does in us? He comes and He empowers that we would bear witness to Jesus in all the world. In all the world. You don't have to go to Kenya to bear witness. You don't have to go to Brazil. You don't have to go to any other country. You can bear witness in the place you'll be 3 hours from now. How do you do that? It's not your job to convict. It's God's job. It's your job to bear witness, to testify. This is the Christ I have come to know. This is how He's changed my life. This is what I know the Scriptures teach about Him. And then as you bear witness, God's Spirit works in the hearts of men and women and uses a word, uses a kind deed, uses some witness of a life. And a person may say, I don't know what it is about you, but I need to know what it is that you know. You ever had that experience? It's God's Spirit bearing witness through you as you live out your life for Christ and bear witness. And you become an instrument in God's hand to be the power to influence the world. Now, there's one more verse I want you to see that describes God's work in us to influence the world. Now, it's in Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. Verses 12 and 13. This, I think, will be the last verse we'll look at. No guarantee. But Philippians chapter 2 and verse 12 and 13. Because this becomes the practical application of living out the influence of God in me in the world. Beautiful statement. Philippians 2:12. So then, Paul tells the Philippians, my beloved, just as you have always obeyed. Now let's stop there for a moment. Remember what we said last week? That knowing more about God is dependent upon one response. What is it? Obeying. That knowing more of God is contingent upon obeying what we've already learned. Living out our obedience. So Paul says to them, so my brethren, just as you have always obeyed, not in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Work out your salvation. Live it out. Use the energy within you to work out your salvation. And then this verse, that's your job. You work it out in obedience. And then verse 13 says, for it is God who has at work in you both to will and to work for his good pleasure. Your role is to bear witness. Your role is to live out your salvation with fear and trembling by faithful obedience, walking in him in the Spirit. And then it says, for it is God who is at work in you to will and to work his good pleasure. God's working in your life by the abiding presence of his Spirit, by the teaching ministry of the Spirit of God in you. You be faithful to bear witness to Christ, and God will confirm his work in you and grow you up in your faith and help you accomplish his good pleasure and his good work. What's God's work in the world? Go. Bear witness. Make disciples. Proclaim to the ends of the world that Jesus is who he says he is. That he is the one who died for sin, created righteousness, and there's a coming judgment that will come. And while you bear witness of this, the Spirit of God is also at work in us, confirming that these things are true. You know that the Scriptures confirm in our minds that the Spirit is alive and in us and working. In John chapter 3, Jesus said the Spirit is like a wind, and it blows. You don't know where it's coming from. You don't know all of a sudden that the wind blows, and you hear the sound of it, but you can't see it coming. That's the way we need to live. Guided by the Spirit. Walking in obedience and knowing that the Spirit may lead us to someone today who needs to hear the witness that Jesus is who he says he is. I'm concerned that the Spirit wants to do a lot of things in our life and lead us into paths of righteousness and direct our steps to bear witness to Christ. And we've got to be in tune with the Spirit. We've got to keep in step with the Spirit as he guides us. Say, Lord, who do you want me to be aware of today that I could live out my salvation with fear and trembling as you work in me? It's interesting, to will, to desire. You're working in my desires. And to work your good pleasure. Could be that you're weak in desire. Do you desire to be a witness for Christ? What if your desire is weak? You don't really want to be a witness for Christ. That's convicting. What should you pray? I would encourage you to pray, Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me. Help me to want to be witness to you. For it is God who is at work in you to will. God is working in your will. You say, God, I want you to work in my will. I want you to make me desire to be obedient, desire to bear witness, that the Spirit of God would work through me. I have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now, Jesus said. But when the Helper comes, he will lead you into all truth. May he lead us into this truth that we are in this world to bear witness of him. And may he help us to want to bear witness. And then to work hard to bear witness for him. Let's pray together. God, we invite your Spirit to come and fall into our soul and mind. And we ask you, Spirit of God, to take over our lives. We perhaps have, in a sense, grabbed the steering wheel of our life. And we just want to slide over and say, Spirit of the living God, you be the guide of our life. And lead us into paths of righteousness for your name's sake. And through our life as we live in obedience, O Spirit of God, would you help us to bear witness to you, to the reality that Jesus is the Son of God who loved us and gave himself for us. Teach us how we may do that with a word, with a deed, that in all of our life we will bear witness that you are the Son of God who loved us and gave himself for us. And then to you be the glory as you live out your life in us, the Spirit enabling us to walk with you. In Jesus' name we pray together. Amen.